Hello, everyone. Welcome to your newest episode of the Cosmic Matrix podcast. And on this episode, we are going to be talking about detransitioning subpersonalities and spirit attachments with Leighton. So just as a little introduction, I basically came across Leighton when she started sharing her experiences detransitioning on Twitter. And I was quite surprised that someone who understands trauma, psychology, and especially the spiritual sciences to be sharing her story. And she shared a story about how a part of her transition involved letting an alter, also known as a part in IFS language, internal family systems, or a subpersonality, take over. And I found this especially interesting as I haven't heard many people talk in depth about the potential psycho-spiritual aspects of gender transition, especially in relating to identifying with subpersonalities or potentially dealing with an entity or spirit attachment. So I reached out to her and we started chatting, and I asked her if she'd heard of Dr. William Baldwin's work, who was probably one of the first people we've came across who talked about how certain spirit attachments of the opposite sex can take over a human being and basically inspire them to change their gender. So there's a few other people who have gone into this. Recently, we've also looked into the work of an IFS practitioner named Robert Falconer, who basically said it's crucial to know the difference between parts or subpersonalities, which need to be integrated, versus a possible entity or spirit attachment, which needs to be dislodged. So we're going to talk to Leighton about her experiences in this context, especially the psycho-spiritual context. So what caused her to transition, and especially how trauma, subpersonalities, and spirit attachments played a role in her deciding to transition her gender, which she then detransitioned from eventually. We're going to talk to her about how she healed and her advice for anyone who might know someone or who is going through something similar, as we do see this being a big social issue right now. And as a little bit of a biography to Leighton, Leighton is an anthroposophist, which is someone who studies Rudolf Steiner's methodologies and teachings. She's also a psychic somatic practitioner. And having left a religious cult and then the cult of gender ideology, she is now passionate about educating others in regards to mental health, healing, and spirituality in a way that is founded on the principles of occult science. And she heavily emphasizes personal autonomy, wholeness, embodiment, and self-transformation. Before we get into that, we just have a little quick announcement.
Yeah. So also want to announce coming up pretty soon, the 14th round of our 14-week group coaching program, Embodied Soul Awakening. It's basically an in-depth group coaching course, only limited to 35 people in psycho, spiritual, somatic, inner work, combining the inner and outer work, and especially in this day and age. And it's a big course. You know, you can check out the website, thetimeoftransition.com, with more information, what it entails. We really go into deep into psychological work, somatic work, occult science, spiritual science, the topics we talked to Leighton about, entity interferences, occult forces, parts work, and all of that in the context of what's happening in the world, especially now with Pluto moving into Aquarius. We're going to involve evolutionary astrology. Laura's going to talk about that a lot. We have a lot of practices and content really in this program, along with support and weekly live calls with Laura and myself and many guest speakers as well. So we still have some spots left. If you're interested, again, go to the website, thetimeoftransition.com. The program starts May 6 until August 12th. And if the course is already full, then just add yourself to the waiting list. There will be a button there as well.
And this will also be on the podcast episode page that you listen to the podcast on your website. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. The link will be there.
Okay. And without much ado, we're going to chat with Leighton.
All right. Excellent, Leighton. Welcome to our Cosmic Matrix podcast. We're really looking forward to this. Good to have you on. So, with all the introduction already being said, but it would be great to hear it from you, to introduce you a little bit, introduce yourself a little bit about, you know, your work, what you do, a little bit of your background.
Yeah, so I consider myself an anthroposophist and a psychic somatic practitioner, meaning that I am a somatic practitioner that believes that through somatic work, we can connect to higher forces and higher beings, and that is how we access our intuition. That is how we access truth and the Akashic records, I firmly believe that all of that is already within our bodies. And so that's really important to me, mainly because I spent so much of my life completely dissociated and disconnected from my body. And so finding that connection and finding that truth and realizing that everything really was inside of me and that I could utilize these different tools to access this inner power and these higher states that would enable me to completely alchemize myself and transform my life was absolutely foundational for me. And so now I work with people as a somatic practitioner, mainly teaching psychic development. And then I also mentor people separately. I'm working on a course and I have a workbook coming out because I just want people to feel like they have access, especially affordable access, because that's not something that I had when I was going through everything. And I think that so much of society is really dissociated right now. And I know firsthand how scary that can feel when you're in that state. And it's important to me to talk about it and raise awareness to it and empower people so that they know that they don't have to stay that way.
Yeah, and I think the body is often missed in these spiritual fields and psychic development, even though it was one of the primary teachings of Buddha, how enlightenment begins in the body. But I find that even in the spiritual fields, people are all about getting into 5D, 6D, 8D, or whatever, and more dissociated and not even focusing on the physical 3D aspect, which is being able to tune into the body. So I think that's actually really important to have that aspect. And we've noticed that ourselves in our work where, for example, if you ask someone how they're feeling, they'll tell you a perception. They'll tell you a concept instead of like the basic felt sense or even just an emotional feeling. And it shows how far removed we are from these basic functions, which I think are integral, actually groundwork for our spiritual development.
Yeah, and also, like you mentioned, definitely we need to incorporate spiritual science, psycho-spiritual work. That's the key point for the future. I know you're big into Rudolf Steiner's work, anthroposophy, similar to a very kind of similar in similar ways to Integral Yoga of Sri Aurobindo about spiritualizing the body, right? And then accessing the higher world. But having said that, some people can spiritual bypass, access higher worlds prematurely and connect to something you don't want to connect to or bring down and all that.
So
Yeah, go ahead.
yeah, so let's talk about your journey a little bit because you just referenced that you were dissociated a lot of your life. So how did that happen? Like, was it because of trauma you experienced? I'm sure it was some sort of environmental factor. So how did you come from being dissociated in brief? Like, how did that happen and how did that lead you to where you are now?
I had a lot of factors kind of leading up to it. And I was very heavily clairvoyant as a child. And then I had a head injury that worsened it, but it also triggered this onset of dissociation. And that happened when I was probably around 5 years old. And then right after that, my family joined a cult. It was a radical Christian extremist cult. And my entire life became very controlled. Things were extremely intense. And I felt very isolated. I was experiencing physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. And I felt very far from God. And I also had a lot of fear because I was having those clairvoyant experiences, but they were framed around this very dogmatic, religious, fearful mindset. So that was dissociating me even more because I was thinking, well, I can't trust myself. I can't trust God to protect me from these things. I can't trust my family members. And it was really scary. So I had this period of time where my family moved, and I was very young still. I was still a teenager, and I left. I got really deep into alcoholism and then drug addiction. And then I had a near-death experience. And that was through an overdose, a drug overdose that I had. And in that experience, it was really crazy. I basically saw myself in this darkness, but it was like there was a spotlight on me. And I kind of heard this voice, not even audibly, just all around me, almost to a cellular level. And I was seeing my naked body with these holes all in it. It's kind of gross to think about, but this was my like really raw experience. And there were ticks just pouring out of my body. And the voice said to me very, very clearly, everything you've been filling your life with has been sucking the life out of you. And I woke up and I felt like just this sense of shock overtake me. And that was kind of the beginning of everything, but I wasn't fully out of the cult because in the state that I was in, I had to live with my parents for a little bit. And then I went into a rehab center. It was a teen challenge center that was intricately interwoven with the cult. So I ended up getting sober, but then I was a very radical Christian and I was back in the cult and I fully believed everything. And yeah, it was really intense. I was definitely experiencing, looking back in hindsight, I can see I was experiencing a lot of spiritual psychosis at the time because everything was so dogmatic. I renounced the occult completely and I believed everything was demonic. But ironically, the experiences that I was having were even more demonic in that setting. And I was extremely traumatized, extremely dissociated. And basically, I eventually reached a point where I ended up leaving the cult. And when I left the cult, I lost everything. I lost every person in my life. I lost my job. I lost what I felt like was my life's purpose. I lost a home. I mean, I had nothing. I was immediately homeless, jobless, friendless, familyless, everything. And I was extremely dissociated in that state. And I was having really bad memory loss. I wouldn't know my own zip code or my own address. I felt confused all the time. I felt very psychically open. I was having terrifying experiences all the time, horrible nightmares, seeing these lower astral and demonic entities kind of everywhere, and even in myself when I would look in the mirror, and that would really freak me out a
And you were
lot.
totally sober at that point too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was really scary. So I was like, what is going on? And eventually I went to a therapist who diagnosed me with dissociative identity disorder. And she also had dissociative identity disorder that was not, she wasn't recovered from it. And I kind of gaslit myself in that moment because it was the easiest thing for me to do. And I told myself that I was never actually psychic and that everything I could see was just me being crazy, and that it was all just this psychological thing that I was experiencing because that made me feel safer because I didn't know how to handle anything I was experiencing, so I kind of fully embraced that. But in that, when I was seeing that therapist, she did this experimental hypnosis with me, and I say experimental because she was not certified or anything. At one point, she had her boyfriend who was who had no, no like deg no degree, nothing like that. She had her boyfriend help her doing this experimental hypnosis on me, where they encouraged me to essentially let these different alters completely take over. She encouraged me to let them live their own lives.
You mean
And that,
sub-personalities?
Alters,
Yeah,
yes. And that essentially created a psychic nightmare. It made everything a million times worse. So, I was in a very bad state. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I felt like I had lost a lot of what I had gained. But looking back, it was really important for me to go through all of that, because I see it as an important part of my mission and kind of like what I'm here for. But I basically got to a point where I couldn't deny that there was also a spiritual aspect to what I was experiencing, and I no longer felt comfortable doing things the way I had done things before in terms of, letting these parts take over, letting them kind of do whatever they wanted, and I started to revoke consent in that sense and call things back into myself.
Is it, were you still working
And
with the therapist at that time too, or were you kind of going off on your own at that point?
she had taken a break from therapy and then she had moved. So I was totally on my own at that point in time. And I realized that even though there was a very real fragmentation that had happened of my own psyche, I really had also been open due to the trauma and all of these other experiences to these different entities that I was allowing to kind of take over me. And so it was kind of a slow process, but revoking consent and calling that back into myself and recognizing it for what it was definitely a really big step for me towards healing. And then after that, I got into somatic therapy because I just felt like talk therapy didn't help me. I felt like it wasn't doing anything for me. And I also got really into occult science and started delving into that because I had known a lot about the occult before, but it was there was no real foundation. I didn't have enough understanding. So that combination helped me tremendously.
So I'm just curious because you guys met on Twitter via DMs, right? And because I'm just curious, the whole story now, when you had working with this therapist, she encouraged you to kind of let those alters play out their parts, so to speak, identify with them, which apparently may not just be alters, just sub-personality, but other beings, entities that were trying to take you over. So was it around that time when she encouraged you also to, changed your gender and all of that topic and theme came up where you get confused being in the wrong body and feeling more urges to change into a man and so forth?
Oh yes. So I was experiencing a lot of internalized homophobia because my parents had already sent me to conversion therapy when I was a teenager. And that was only for a weekend. So it was frustrating to me, but it didn't have as much damage on my psyche. But then when I went into Teen Challenge, I was experiencing conversion therapy for 9 months straight, and I had no outside contact or anything like that. So when I went back into the cult, I believed that I was ex-gay because I had completely dissociated myself from everything that was me. And so that kind of created that. And then that internalized homophobia was so strong and so intense that when I went to see this therapist, that was definitely something that I was trying to express to her and explain to her. And the way that it was kind of twisted was, she said to me, and this was someone who was a biological female who lived as a woman as well, but she said to me, I have a part that's a lesbian, I have a part that's a straight woman, I have a part that's a man. And so I consider myself partially trans too, and kind of was projecting this onto me. And I was definitely being influenced at the time by some sort of masculine entity. When I look back now, especially with the sight I have now, I can even see that in photos. It's very clear and obvious to me. But at the time, I would just get freaked out and I wouldn't look into it further because I didn't have any tools to deal with it. But that absolutely happened at the same time.
So you think this was it a sub personality, or do you think that was a spirit attachment? Were you able to like make the distinction about, especially one that was a man, or was there both?
Well, I had a combination. I had one that was a sub-personality that was specifically this fragment from my high school years that basically was this very detached part of me that wanted to be tough and emotionless. And I grew up with two brothers, and I didn't I felt like I was always treated differently, and I was always the odd one out. And so that was this aspect of me that was kind of denying my womanhood and feeling like I would be safer in kind of that That part of myself that was just this isolated and separate masculine energy. But at the same time, I also had these attachments. I even had one that was a little boy, and my wife would tell me when I, because I would kind of black out during these experiences, and it was actually extremely terrifying for me. And I would it would take me days sometimes to feel even somewhat normal again. And then when I would come back, my wife would tell me, you know, I AJ was his name, and she would say he was telling me this stuff about, you know, being in this weird colonial setting, and like women were being abused, and like he misses his mom, and all of this stuff. And to me, I'm just thinking, what does this have to do with me? You know, where did this come from, and how is this something that I would integrate? And it was very confusing, and that was kind of the beginning of when I started to realize that there actually was more going on, and I was thinking back to a lot of my childhood experiences. But it was a mixed bag because I had quite a bit of, I had the main sub-personalities that I would call alters, and then I had these smaller things that were less defined that would just kind of influence me here and there that I called fragments. And that's just because it was easier for me to explain it that way. But I had, I mean, all kinds of ages and genders. And looking back, it's actually, I mean, it's scary because I think, okay, I'm someone that could, to an extent, see these things and eventually, you know, revoke consent and become embodied. And now I can very easily see these things in others. But I just think about how many people are walking around being influenced by these kind of things, because I do think that this is a lot more common than people realize, even if not to the intensity that I experienced it. I feel like people are definitely being influenced by this kind of thing a lot more than they
I
realize
think
they
I would
are.
say 99.9%.
You
Even
have
on
to
the more
say about
subtle
that.
levels, on some level, as you know, we are like influenced by all kinds of forces consistently to varying degrees, from the higher divine order up to more the lower nature or the lower realms, always on some level, up to full on possession. So I'm curious, so it's really fascinating to hear this because so you talk about sub-personalities that could be traumatized parts, fragments, right? That happen because of trauma, your upbringing, everything you shared about, right? Absolutely, which needs to be integrated. But then working with this therapist, she saw everything as alters, split personalities, and just play with them, just invite them in. Didn't recognize the spiritual reality, obviously, right? Thought everything's just part of your psyche, hence encouraged you to just identify with whatever this part wants to identify with. And that was at that time, then you felt really this masculine energy or spirit. Or back then, it was not even a spirit. You just felt, this masculine energy. And that maybe with her, encouragement, literally encouraged you or motivated you to engage in changing your gender, with all the treatments and all that. Can you share a little bit about that, how far you took it?
I was really hesitant at first. And I wasn't necessarily hesitant about feeling like a man, because when I was in that state, it's like if someone affirmed to me, you know, this is why you're feeling that way, I was grabbing onto anything that made sense. And to me, that made sense in the moment, and I really struggled with the idea of because I was engaged at the time, and now I'm married to a woman, and at the time it was very difficult for me to wrap my head around that. I was struggling so much with that, so I was kind of looking for any way to escape that, and didn't really realize it at the time. So I was like, oh, this thing was presented to me, and I'm also experiencing you know, these weird moments where I just feel like a man, and so I must embrace this. And I think that subconsciously it was also there was also this element of feeling like I could leave behind my old life and have a completely new life, even if it meant that I was stepping into something that I didn't completely recognize. Despite that, I was still very hesitant because I would also have moments where I felt very feminine, and I would think, is this who I really am if I'm going back and forth and feeling confused about this all the time? And of course, I was referred by the therapist to a gender clinic, and they were like, "Oh no, this is totally normal. If you're feeling that way, that's fine. We can just start you on some low dose testosterone, and we can see how you feel and how things go." And it's pretty well documented in my medical records. I was actually shocked when I read them over and saw how many times I said things to them, like, "I don't know if this is the right thing," or "I feel unsure about this because of this." And I was encouraged again and again and again. And especially after having been in a cult, I at the time just did not trust myself at all. I didn't trust my own judgment. And so I thought, if they're saying that this is pretty much harmless and that I can just try it and I can stop whenever I want, then I may as well. And I went on testosterone and I remained on it for around 3 years.
When so when was the time frame? When did you start that? How many years ago?
I can't go over dates just because of the lawsuit,
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. No
I
worries.
was still pretty young. It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. Gotcha.
Yes.
No, thank you for sharing.
So you were basically sharing that you were hesitant. They knew that you also had a background of some sort of trauma. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
yeah. I mean, they knew
still,
everything.
And still kind of put you in this affirmative, and that's not even beyond affirmative. That's like almost pressuring you to go down that road. So what was the impact? Like, I'm curious. I don't know much about, I know from other detransitioners, but like, what was the impact? Like, what did you feel when you started taking that? I imagine you're a very sensitive person, so these drugs probably had a very strong influence on you, right?
Yeah, it was really interesting because at first I felt like completely enlightened and euphoric, and it was a really bizarre feeling. And then I realized that it was because I've always had a sensitivity to histamine, and testosterone actually suppresses histamine. And I didn't know that, so I had this, so I wasn't having as much sickness for the first few months. I was feeling pretty good. So I kind of told myself, this is because I'm doing the right thing. This is because I'm doing the right thing. And I was having so many more experiences with my guides, and it felt like my clairvoyance was like breaking open. And looking back, it's so obvious to me that it's because they were like, "What are you doing?" And I really needed to be supported during that time because I was destroying my body. So for the first few months, and I've actually heard a lot of detransitioners say this, that for the first 3 months or so, they have this experience that feels so euphoric. And at the same time, they're having all of these deeply spiritual experiences, which I think is really funny because right after that, I started very quickly realizing, oh, this is cannibalizing me. And I could see that it was completely draining my life force. I could see that it was opening me up to lower astral beings and entities that I was already opened up to because I was in such a dissociated state. And I was having nonstop intrusive thoughts. I became way more suicidal. So it was almost this period in the beginning where it's like I felt like my guides were surrounding me and kind of trying to strengthen me for what I was about to go through. And then I ended up going through one of the darkest periods. I would say it was equally dark to when I was in drug addiction, just in a different way. The impact that it had on my body, my life force was just completely gone. It was completely gone. My physical body just started deteriorating so quickly. I had a lot of physical health issues, and any health issue that I already had had up until that point got so much worse. My allergies, I initially was only allergic to a few things, and now I have allergic histamine responses to most things. I'm so much more sensitive now to anything that's an endocrine disruptor, which obviously is already a toxin, but now my body really struggles to defend itself against it because my endocrine system was just completely demolished during that time. And if it's been taking a very, very long time to restore that and to kind of build myself up. I also became perimenopausal, which is insane because I'm only in my 30s. And it shouldn't be happening. You know, my nervous system became completely destroyed. I'm in physical therapy twice a week because my nervous system just goes through so much. I actually got nerve damage from being on testosterone. While I was on testosterone, I broke two bones, and they even had me on a high dose daily calcium supplement because they said to me, when you're on this, you're at a higher risk of osteoporosis. And just during that time, I broke two bones, which is not like me. I have not broken a bone since, you know? So it was really taking a massive toll on my health. I also gained a lot of weight. I've always been very thin my entire life, and I was overweight when I was on testosterone. I mean, I could just go on and on and on with
And
the
it still
effects.
affects you to this day, right? Like it's not
Oh, yeah.
something that you just go off and then everything goes back to normal. You're still struggling with some of these health issues. So I'm curious, go in a moment. So were you like when you were taking these hormones, were you also finding yourself merging with some of these subpersonalities or potentially spirit attachments more? Like, did one of them really dominantly take over, or was it like a mixture, or?
I kind of there were two or so that like one that was male and one that was female that would kind of war with each other at different points. But I had one that was definitely it was definitely more of an entity attachment that had all of this anger and rage. And I personally believe that we tend to attract the entities that we are resonant with in some way. And so I think I had all of this suppressed anger and rage from my experiences that kind of drew it in. And I didn't know how to express it on my own. And so I was allowing it to kind of be expressed through this entity. And then I also was very heavily influenced by that subpersonality from when I was around the time when I was in high school. That was a masculine personality, and there were certain themes that would go with them that made it very and patterns that made it very easy for me to dissect for the most part who I was being influenced by and when that was happening. And so looking back, I can pretty easily and strongly say that I was becoming more and more influenced over time with being on the testosterone by if anything, I was feeding the entity attachment as well as this fragmented aspect of myself. And a lot of that also has to do with, you know, in the experimental hypnosis that we were doing, it wasn't regular parts work or anything like that. I was being encouraged to split more. I was being encouraged to fragment myself more. And so I feel like with the tools I had at the time, which were not good tools, I was just totally feeding these things, and I had no idea. I genuinely, to an extent, believed that this was who I was, not 100%, but definitely at least like 85%. I believed that was who I was.
Yeah, because in regular parts work, you would identify, but then ultimately disidentify so that you could lead from the true self. It's not about strengthening these parts. It's about basically observing them, seeing their purpose, but then bringing it back to the true self and ideally infusing them with self energy and not letting them play out these extreme roles, which just seems like the opposite of what you did.
It was also encouraged by the so-called therapist, right, to just identify with these parts and play them out and all of that. Now, it's interesting, just to recap. So it's really fascinating, especially nowadays with this whole gender affirmation and all of that. Even your great example at the clinic, they totally affirmed you. They didn't question anything, no trauma, no childhood, what happened in your childhood, possible trauma, possible fragmentation, zero awareness around trauma. It's just like, this whole oversimplified idea of just affirming whatever you feel like, right? Without understanding the porosity of mind, the different parts that may come, wounded inner child, whoever, or
Right.
let alone possible entities. And I think you really made a really important point, because in my work and my research as well, it's not never just one entity or one part. It's a mixture,
Right.
right? There can be like the tomboy part within you, kind of the rebel that kind of maybe influenced that as well, right? And then that usually from parts work, they make sometimes in contract or like bring in another force because they feel so alone, another entity, right? Which we mistake a part of ourselves. And I think you also very well analyzed it in the sense the reason why you, once you went along with it, it felt so drained and physically not well is because via engaging in this, gender or hormone therapy, and you literally give in to that quote unquote male energy, male entity, and feeding it, right? That's kind of
Yes.
like almost like the takeover that happens over time. And that's why you feel more removed from who you truly are. And that's kind of trap of agreement, right? It really reminds me, I want to share a quote. Maybe I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Baldwin's work on spirit releasement therapy, right? And I've studied it a lot, and it's really fascinating work. And his work is based on earthbound spirits, meaning spirits of diseased people that are stuck in the lower astral realm. They don't make the transition. They don't, some of them, they die because of trauma. They don't even know they're dead, and they tend to latch on living human beings and live out through them, right? And he made a compelling case exactly regarding gender or sexual orientation. And I'm quoting from his book, Spirit Releasement Therapy from 1993. Sexual orientation can be influenced by an entity of the opposite gender, by an attached earthbound soul. Men who want to become women, in this case here, through gender reassignment surgery, often describe themselves as a, quote, woman locked in a man's body. In clinical practice, we have discovered this to be an accurate description of the condition. The spirit of a diseased female joins a male body, often at a young age, and the boy grows with the attached female soul longing to come out and live as a woman. In your case, it's the other way around, right? A possible male spirit that was also could come in based on your history, the cult, the drug abuse, the dissociation, trauma. That's usually when these beings can come in and easily attach and then grow influence over time. And then it just needed in your vulnerable state, not trusting yourself, seeking guidance outside, this therapist and this clinic, just kind of like, agreeing with the entity that wants to kind of do its work through you. But what's beautiful to see in your story as well, that eventually you had enough spiritual strength, right, in your own spiritual constitution to be able to rescue yourself, so to speak, bring yourself back. So just wanted to add to that, because it is really fascinating research. And I think that's really not acknowledged nowadays at all. And it's a very tricky topic, right? Especially in the political climate or whatever it's happening, when we talk about occult forces, spiritual signs, that there are other beings that can influence not only desires, our wants and needs, but even our gender, morphia, and all of that is maybe a result of not only trauma, but these beings.
At the time too, I was living in this house that it was a pretty large house that was split at the top and center and bottom. So I was living in the center, and then I had someone living above me and someone living below. And the person below me, I didn't realize when we moved in, but there was someone below me that was an active heroin addict, and I definitely think that influenced this energy. But while I was living there, and I lived there for almost 4 years, it was pretty much like a portal. I would be falling asleep, and immediately I would have some sort of spirit trying to communicate with me, or it would speak in my ear, or show itself to me. And it was nonstop. When I look back on that time of my life, I see it as spiritual boot camp, because it really primed me to overcome fear, because I had some really terrifying experiences when I was there. And I just think of that combination of being so heavily dissociated and then opening myself up, not even just with the testosterone, but I was also on so many medications at the time, and they just kept piling on more and more medications for mental and spiritual health. And I say health, in quotes, because I don't believe that brought me any health whatsoever. But I think of that combination of being so opened and also so dissociated, and then being in this state where there are so many spirits passing through all the time. And I also think that the fact that I moved shortly after I started to revoke consent and learn how to protect myself. And I read Psychic Self-Defense by Dion Fortune, and that helped
Excellent.
me tremendously. And I think that moving and getting out of that environment was really important too, so that I wasn't constantly surrounded by that, because that does affect people. And even as a lesbian myself, I get frustrated when people say that it's never because of trauma or never because of an entity attachment, because I just don't believe that's true. I think even in sexual orientation, it can sometimes be because you were traumatized, or sometimes be because of an entity attachment. I think it's important for us to be nuanced about those things and see that there are plenty of cases where people are influenced in different ways.
That's a very good point, because it needs to be nuanced. It's not either or, right? You can have the Christian fundamentalist view, and anybody who's homosexual is like, you're possessed by a demon, right? This extreme of we see almost a rise of this fundamentalist medieval Christianity recently as well. It's a whole other topic, right? But it's more nuanced. It could be like, who knows from a karmic perspective, past life lessons and all of that that carry over lifetimes, right? And then obviously trauma or entity interferences, right? Here's another excellent quote I want to just mention. This is from another fascinating book, Dr. Edith Fior, The Unquiet Dead, A Psychologist Treats Spirit Possession in 1987. Fascinating book. And she says here as well, one of the causes of homosexuality can be possession by spirits of the opposite sex. Some patients she had felt they were trapped in bodies of the wrong sex. Some of these people were considering irreversible
Irreversible.
transsexual operations because of the spirit's desperate attempt to make the possessor's body as much like the diseased one as possible. I've treated a number of transvestites, all with possessing spirits of the opposite sex. It was they who bought the clothes and dressed up to suit their fancy. Now, see this even nowadays. And also, I want to point that out, especially nowadays, as it becomes more popularized, it's a social cultural conditioning as well, right? To really
Social contagion.
social contagion, to really influence very insecure young boys and girls, as we all were insecure, right? And just go along with it. It's like Laura always says, it's a new goth thing, right? It becomes cool to identify as some sort of gender or become literally a transgender, right?
And it's interesting too, the point you make about, how the location affected you, because I've also lived in locations that were full of just non-benevolent spirits, I guess you could say. And I noticed from my roommates, under the influence of drugs, they would get taken over by beings very regularly. So, I think people, when they're looking for a house to live in, they underestimate how much the energies and the elemental forces, and who knows, there could be even earthbound spirits of the house, can affect you. And especially if you're on multiple drugs, multiple psychiatric drugs, dissociated on top of it. It just gives more entry points for them to come in, because if your soul isn't anchored in your body, something else can easily take over.
I mean, on so many levels, we know that's why, again, going back to the bigger picture, especially nowadays, we need to incorporate the spiritual science in the psychotherapeutic approach. Because I've seen two ways in our work specifically, or in general, I see two ways, right? One is what you experience as well, the hardcore psychotherapy, just everything is in the mind, whatever multiple personality disorder or schizophrenia, it's all your own hypno, it's all your illusion and fantasy and just different parts of your fractured personality, and there's just that, right? And then the other view is, as I've seen the entity topic become more popular, which is a great thing, but with it the distortion as well. All of a sudden, everything is an entity, and I have 170 entities attached. Can you help me clear it? I literally got emails like that sometimes. And how you have to have a certain level of being and groundedness to actually perceive this and really know what is what, because it could be a wounded part that needs to be integrated, not rejected, right? So, but what we need is more this nuanced approach as well of a spiritual, psycho-spiritual approach where we can work with different fragmented parts we need to integrate, the exhale, the inner child, whatever wounded parts, soul fragmentation. But there are certain things that are not ourselves. We need to expel, we need to revoke consent, as you said, and reject, so to speak. So in your own work, how do you make the different, how have you made a differentiation between wounded aspects of yourself you needed to integrate, right, to reparent yourself, as opposed to get out of my system, you not mine, and some possible entity?
I think that when I first started, because now entity removal is something that is very present in my life. And it's a work that I personally really love doing, but I firmly believe that we can't just do it necessarily to someone else. I think that they need to be involved in that process, because it is such a fine line where, as I was saying earlier, I really believe that the majority of these attachments happen because someone has this trauma or they have this wound. So in the beginning, I couldn't really tell the difference of what was happening, because I would feel this very strong, overpowering emotion when I would try and tap into a different sensation in my body. And I would start to ask my body different questions, like, if you could speak, what would you say to me? And there would be a difference of, is this my voice that I'm hearing back? Or is this something completely different? Is this something that resonates with me and my own experiences? Or is this something completely different? And it was kind of like untangling, you know, a pile of necklaces or something. It was this process that was really difficult, because I had identified with things that weren't actually me for so long. But at the same time, I was identifying with those things because there was a part of me that resonated with it. And so I had to go within and become extremely familiar with the physical sensations that my body uses as a language of communication when different things are happening. I had to learn the language of my own body. I had to learn how to differentiate by what I psychically see as being kind of like these different layers. So I would go within the deepest layer of myself and my body, and I would ask my body questions, even the breath in my lungs, just the air in my lungs. I would be asking, you know, what would you say to me if you could speak, and what has influenced you? And I was just so, I think, curious at that point, because, and also I was going through a period where I wanted to scan every single thing in my body, even if it was just my breath, even if it was, you know, down to a cellular level, because I did not want to live my life controlled by these other things. And then from there, I was able to realize which parts of my body I was more prone to holding on to emotions, and that would be where, in those unexpressed emotions or those places of trauma and pain, I would have an openness to a different entity attachment. So I realized that I had a lot of wounding, especially around my throat chakra, and things were attaching to me through that. And I believe the way that I approach everything is that I believe that everything is, it's like two sides of one coin. So if I'm having things attached to my throat, because most likely because I was disempowered and I wasn't, you know, speaking my truth and I wasn't living my truth, part of the way that I redeemed that in myself was to find the opposite of that and find ways that I could empower myself and speak up and do those different things. And I found that the more that I did that with every single part of myself and every single organ within my body, really, the more I was able to take back control over my body. And now it is just so easy for me to see if I have a sensation of heaviness or something, and I can easily recognize, okay, this is how my body feels heaviness when I'm in a state of grief or when I'm experiencing sadness versus the heaviness that I would experience from some sort of influence. And actually, my birthday was in March, and my brother got me these really amazing vintage dresses. And I'm a vintage collector. I love vintage. I love antiques. But he gave them to me, and there was a spirit attached to the dresses. I barely had them in my house before I had, I was picking up on different things from this. And it was all of these projections of anger, like extreme anger and jealousy and all of these things. And it was disorienting. I was like, imagine people that aren't picking up on those things, and then they just have it in their house and it becomes a part of them because they don't know.
Exactly. No, this is like, thank you so much, Leighton. There's so much I want to comment on. It's beautiful to hear this from you. But on that side note, I talked about is I have a whole a webinar called Forces of Hyperdimensions, where I go deep in this topic. And especially there's also a chapter I go into about things and or clothes that can carry energies or, you know, aspects of another person still embedded in the thing. That's why you got to be actually careful with secondhand clothing or even secondhand furniture or kinds of artwork, what you pick up and put up into your house. And like you said, most people, and I did the mistake, you know, out of my own naivety back in the days from Peru, just this beautiful ayahuasca, you know, shibibo artwork and so forth. And then back then I was working with a highly psychic, powerful woman who helped to clear me my home. He said, you got to take this artwork out, right? There's like, there's something coming through you don't want to have in your house. But I didn't have the sensitivity to really tune into that. But speaking of that, you made really good points, but you also have the sensitivity to tune into that. You need the somatic sensitivity, really, right? To tune into your body, make the distinctions, which a lot of party people, by nature, living in a world where everybody's disembodied and dissociated, people don't have naturally.
You have to train yourself to become more sensitive to the body, too.
So you need to, the key point is really embodiment, somatic awareness, self-awareness, and then you can differentiate that. Instead of also, people always looking for people to remove their entities, and I always say, this is, first of all, there's a lot of questionable people offering all of kind of questionable things, right? But you beautifully also made a point clear that just removing it, it doesn't resolve anything because it came in at a certain entry point. You made maybe a contract with a certain wounded part or trauma part somehow. And the way you described it, you see this also these beings as a have their teaching function, right? Like the throat. Okay, there's something they've tagged in here. So I need to work on something here to close it off, to empower myself so it can come in. So they kind of highlight what you need to work on, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something when I have people come to me, because it's the same thing. They want you to just take something off of them and then they can go and ride into the sunset and never deal with it again. And I always say that's not my approach at all. We need to figure out what the wound was. We need to figure out what the trauma was that is causing this. And sometimes it's a physical trauma too. And it's something to be very mindful of. Even things, I have over 30 tattoos from my younger days. And I'm well aware that even being tattooed created disturbances in my field in different areas that made me vulnerable to different things. And I actually used to also tattoo people when I was younger. And I would refuse to do different symbols because I would think this is kind of like a blood ritual, right? So I think that there are so many things. I mean, you can break a bone or have a head injury or experience heartbreak. You could even just get a virus that like really takes you out. And there are so many things that can really impact people, and they don't even realize that they're open in these different ways. So I try and go at it from a psycho-spiritual perspective, a somatic perspective, a physiological perspective, and help people also strengthen the nervous system and reduce stimulation, you know, look at their diet, because I think that everything plays a part, and it really comes down to whether or not there's balance and harmony and wholeness in the whole body. And that has been so true for me and for my own life. And there are plenty of people that they think I'm just crazy. And they're like, you know, dissociative identity disorder, that's not real. And entity attachment, that's not real. And they think I'm insane. And I'm just like, well, my life used to be complete chaos. It was a complete wreck. And if I was actually just insane, how would I have this harmony? How would I have this balance and this groundedness and this embodiment, you know? So I think that there's also this element where people are very afraid of acknowledging things that are out of their control. And I completely relate to that because I used to feel the same way, because even as someone who did have that sight, like I was saying before, I never had the tools. And I was brought up in a way where there was so much fear mongering that I was so afraid of everything I experienced, and I had no self-empowerment whatsoever. And I think that we're living in a very disempowered society. And when you combine that with people that are also traumatized and people that are also ignorant, it's just creating this kind of spiritual bloodbath in a way.
Yeah.
And I think too, we live in this age of philosophical materialism, not to be confused with consumerism, where we only trust things that can be detected with the scientific method and the five senses. And that's the main barrier, I think, even in even the best mainstream psychology. There's a lot of great somatic psychology modalities coming out, but a lot of them still don't accept these spiritual realities. And I think, especially with our work, like that's actually the next step, is we can't even understand the physical reality until we understand the spiritual realities that influence us. But it's going to take a whole even deprogramming of this philosophy we've bought into since, you know, the during the scientific revolution, that like, if you can't test it, you know, at least with the five senses, then it's not real. And I think that's the whole opening that needs to happen, and not going into this kind of fundamentalist dogmatic point of view where they're just black and white thinking, but having that discernment and sight to be able to tell, okay, that's a benevolent spirit, that's a malevolent spirit, that's an elemental, you know, being able to differentiate the different spiritual forces, I think could be a breakthrough in understanding all sorts of mental illness, schizophrenia, dissociative identity disorder, all of those things. So I think we can wrap up. So in the second hour, we're just going to chat a little bit more about how this really impacted your life and relationships. And then most importantly, you know, when did you realize that it was time to change? Like, how did you find healing? What your healing journey looked like? Also what you learned, like what did this experience help you find as far as greater purpose and meaning, and especially advice for people who may be struggling with a similar thing, or, you know, a parent or person who knows someone in their life who believes they're transgender and may be being influenced by past trauma, social contagion, other factors that you may be dealt with, and maybe some advice you can offer to them too. So,
and also dive a little bit into Stanis occult science. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward. And also reading a fascinating book, The Others Within Us. Mm-hmm. Very fascinating, by Robert Falconer, kind of combining IFS, internal family systems, with entity attachments and how to differentiate parts. So that's very important. But before we, so anybody who's not a member can become a member by going to my website, veilofreality.com. You can sign up for the second hour there, over 120 episodes. But before we finish, Leighton, where can people find you and learn more about your work?
So I'm on YouTube as Psychic Somatics. I have a website, www.psychicsomatic.com. And I'm on Twitter at Original Angel, but the L's are ones instead of L's.
Yeah, okay. We'll link it in the show notes as well. Yeah, so people can find you.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Leighton. And we'll be right back.